Norris completed the Liturgy of the Hours at Lourdes and rose from her kneeling posture on the prie-dieu in the sunroom of her home. The canticle of Zechariah was fresh in her mind. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. She felt a serenity that was seldom present at other times of the day. The rest of the house was quiet. The sun was rising over the fields, and the vista opened up before her as she raised her eyes to look through the window. Patches of fog lay low in the hollows of the field, and the risen sun blazed hotly through the atmosphere. Oaks were islands in the dell, rising out of the misty blanket. The high pasture was already clear, and far away, her horses, one speckled, one black, one hoary white, were grazing. The donkey that kept the coyotes at bay stood lazily munching hay instead of the fresh grass. Anne sighed involuntarily and turned her back on the window. Stepping through the great room and into the kitchen, she took her favorite mug from the cupboard. It was a simple, small, white mug with a stylized cross centered upon five linked Escher-like doves flying in a circle and the words Jubileum AD 2000 in a circle around the cross. The mug was her one souvenir from the advent of the new millennium, purchased while she and Dane were in Rome. She filled it with coffee from the fresh brewed pot and mixed in a vanilla creamer. Taking her mug with her, she went through the sunroom to the back deck of the house and settled into a wrought iron chair behind a similar table to watch the sunrise. It took only a moment before she processed the moisture that was beginning to seep through her silk pajamas, and she hastily leapt up, spilling some of her coffee. Every day, she made the same mistake. "I should know better," she chided herself. She set her mug down and pulled a dry towel from the chest that stood by the door to the deck, left there for just this purpose. Draping the towel over the chair, she took her seat again and resumed her peace. At 46 years old, Anne Norris was still a striking woman. Tall and heavily built, but well-proportioned, though she didn't think so herself. She felt her age deeply and fought hard against its onset. She knew her body was thicker, and she watched her weight creep up and up. "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity," she thought to herself, grappling with her pride. Her brunette hair was held back by a headband to keep it under the mantilla that she wore during the Liturgy of the Hours, as her head bobbed up and down reading through the prayers. Her deep brown eyes, set under thick, arched eyebrows, squinted at the light of the rising sun. All in all, she had the strong, straight features that marked her Polish ancestry, and for whatever she might think about her figure, she knew she was beautiful and that it was sinful to think so. Despite her outward calm, Anne was riven by fissures. Who could not be, who took the gospel seriously and yet who lived in peace and luxury? Her husband's fortune was unsquandered and invested, unlike so many of his NFL teammates, a fact that she took silent credit for, though without enhancing her self-opinion. She put it down to a miserly upbringing. And, in fact, she had remonstrated with herself for clinging to the growing financial accounts and arguing against any spending until sophistry convinced her that hoarding it was a greater evil than spending it. "Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle," she heard her inner voice say, and she sipped her coffee. In a few moments, she would go out to the barn to check on the new hatchlings, warm under their incubator lamp. Her matured chickens would cluck and caw in their roost, brazenly trumpeting their production of eggs.